and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 145, coming to you here on the Watchdog Network from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling. Getting you ready for another fabulous action-packed weekend of football here on the Watchdog Network. You don't want to miss what we got going on. We got three games in action tonight. High school-wise, we got Wheeling Park taking on St. Clairsville. We have Wheeling Central taking on Perry Academy, and we have John Marshall traveling to Parkersburg South. So three very good games here on the Watchdog Network, and check those out. Of course, Central on WKKX, John Marshall on WVLY, and Wheeling Park on WatchdogNetwork.com on the stream. So be sure and you have that up. You're going to have that website up and ready to go. You also got WVU in action on Saturday as they take on Utah. So a action-packed weekend of football here on the Watchdog. And don't forget, you got the Lions and the Browns at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. WatchdogNetwork.com for all those games. We'll get you ready for it here on another fabulous Football Friday presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. Thanks for joining us here on the Watchdog Network as we get you ready for high school football pregame coming up after us. Then it will be the games. We'll send you out to your game, and then we'll be back at halftime to discuss what went on in our three games here on the Watchdog Network and update you on some scores from around the area. All right, let's get into the business at hand. It's show number 145, and I will say we were not very good last week. We had some strong things in certain sports, but we were not good. In regular pigskin football, we were not very good. Had some good opinions, but as a whole, we did not perform very well. So we were down 0.45 units, so just a little bit under a half a unit. We were down for the week, 12-13 in college football, 49-50-2 over the season so far. So 49%, that's not good enough. Not good in the NFL again. Couple great opinions. Browns come through for us. We told you they had a good chance to win that game, and they certainly did. We were 7-10 though on the week overall, and 19-25 on the season thus far. So at least the Browns did come through. NASCAR, we had a top 5 and a top 10 with Logano and Briscoe. Soccer was our strongest thing. We were 11-6-3 last week, 22-9-3 over the last 2 weeks. That's 65%, so pretty strong there. EPL, we were 6-4. Championship, we were 1-1-2. And League One, we were 4-1. Blackpool coming through at plus 160. Sunderland and Bournemouth, though, with draws, didn't help us out there. Sunderland gets an early red card. They were lucky to draw in the match. It was not a pretty day as far as that goes. But could have been worse. We were pretty solid in soccer. 3-1 in the AFL. We nailed the final matchup for the grand final coming up this weekend. It will be Geelong and Brisbane. So we have a guaranteed winning ticket there. We got a couple tickets on Geelong and a couple tickets on Brisbane. So that is good. We got Geelong at 4-1 and plus 175, and Brisbane at 7-6-1. So we will be glad to cash either one of those. Most likely we would prefer to have the Brisbane one cash, and we'll get into that as we talk about the game here in a little bit. MLB. Well, another week goes by, and it's the carousel continues, and we're trying to take advantage to get a few of these teams that we have for playoff tickets in the playoffs. Seattle Mariners are good to go now, at least it looks like. Toronto is the number one seed in the American League right now, followed by Seattle. Cleveland now into the third spot, catapulting the Tigers, who have had an absolute epic meltdown right now. It's a good thing the Lions won on Monday Night Football, because the Tigers are making the city sick right now. The Tigers have vomited all over themselves, and they vomited all over themselves like 10 days in a row. They had an 11-game lead not that long ago, and it's just mind-blowing. They are a mess right now. Scooble last night couldn't get it done. They're in big, big trouble as they take on Cleveland here and then finish up for the weekend, and then we'll see if they're even in, because they are not in a good spot. Astros one game out in the American League as they look to track down the Tigers, and they could actually catch them. It's just crazy if they don't catch Seattle. The Tribe were 100-1 to win the Central Division back in July. They're now a minus 225 favorite. That is just an incredible turnaround right there. In the National League, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Dodgers, the top three, followed by the Cubs, Padres, and then will it be the Mets who are in right now? You got the Reds and the Diamondbacks just one game out. The Diamondbacks continue to play. They're probably playing the best baseball of anybody in the pennant races, at least as far as the wild card goes right now. They're hard to put away. They did a good job, though. They traded some guys and got some value. They got some stuff off the books and some guys that they weren't going to be re-signing. But they didn't get rid of their entire core. They still have a lot of the guys back that you would recognize from the World Series run. Didn't expect the pitching to hold up this well, but they're doing a fine job. So we'll see. A couple more days left. We got those future tickets. The Texas one we can burn. The Giants one we can burn. We got the Reds live. We got the Red Sox live. We got some futures on Seattle and the Mets that we put in there. San Diego as well. We were heavy on those. We went through those World Series exactas. So we're still alive for some of our stuff. WNBA playoffs underway right now. Actually, they've been underway for a little while, but the semifinals, you had the Indiana Fever with an upset in that short series against Atlanta. I would not have it's a good thing I realized that was a three-game series, because that then shifted a little bit of an advantage to the lesser team, which in this case was Indiana, just because they don't have any players. So you got to give them a small advantage as far as what Atlanta had, and I would have given Atlanta a massive advantage, but Indiana gets it done. They in a three-game series, they take them out, and they beat Vegas in the first game of the semifinals. So you got those series right now starting back up tonight. Each series tied at one. You got the Aces and the Fever tonight at 7:30. Right now, Vegas -4.5, total 162.5, and then you got Minnesota, who blew a massive lead, a 20-point halftime lead, and a double-digit second half, fourth quarter lead. I watched that game. Phoenix just couldn't miss, and Minnesota just couldn't get stops. McBride was awesome for Minnesota, but they could not stop anybody, and it was a big problem. Mercury got anything they wanted there, came all the way back and won the game. So the Mercury catch 4.5 at home, the total 158.5. I don't know whether to play the Lynx. I would probably play the Lynx back off that. It was a bad performance by them in the second half. They had really dominated seven quarters of play in this series so far, and then that last quarter just fell apart. So I would come back with the Lynx there, probably on the road as a small favorite. But these games are probably going to go to the wire. And then the Fever at home, this is the game, maybe the last game the Fever can win, I would say. They're going to probably have a shot maybe in this one, but 4.5 is pretty short. I don't know what I can do in that game. I would probably lean towards the over in this game. I think the Fever will come out shooting it pretty well at home in what is a must-win for them to try to extend this series. Even though it's 1-1, they just don't have the horses to be able to hold up in a long series against the Aces. So I'll go over in that game, and we'll go with the Lynx on the road in Game 2 tonight. Those are the WNBA semifinals, as we'll have the winners of that facing off in the final. I don't really have an opinion. I mean, I bet the Lynx way back thought they were the best team, but the Aces are going to be hard to beat right now. They've played very, very well, minus that first game against Indiana a couple nights ago. Ryder Cup, here we go. So that's probably underway, as you are aware right now on the Watchdog Network. You probably followed it a little bit today from Bethpage Black up in New York. Public course, rowdy course, going to be a lot of fanfare there, going to be a lot of drunk hooligans, and maybe that'll give the United States the shot that they need. The more I've analyzed this, I understand why people are backing the United States. I understand why the USA is a favorite in this, but I just can't get there with them. I understand the home turf advantage is going to be massive. So I really have some opinions here. Hopefully that you can still get these in. They'll be up at BLS_PRP, but you can definitely play off of them even after day one results. So I think Team Europe at +150, I said that weeks and months ago on the show that I thought it was of some value to that. But I think this is going to start out probably one way, and I think it'll go this way, but I can't be certain, of course. But I think Europe will come out very, very strong. I think Europe realizes they need to jump out here quick. They cannot get buried on the first day. I think Europe comes out very hot. I like Europe to win day one. You can find that at +130. So I think Europe will be in a position where in midday Saturday, they're going to be in control of this thing. And then I think the United States, slowly but surely, with that crowd getting really, really, really rowdy, will start to cut into it a little bit. So I think if you like the United States, I would bet them to win this thing between 1 and 3 points. I think it'll be very tight. That's +350. I don't think you're going to see them winning by 7 or more. 4 to 6 is +450. Europe, I think, if there's going to be a blowout in this, I'm not going to say the USA would get blown out, but they have pressure on them. They're at home here, and people are expecting a lot out of them. So maybe Europe could blow them out. I think Europe has a much better team. They have the deeper lineup. They have the guys who have played better this year. They have more experience. So they check all the boxes there. We've already saw some ribbing going on between both teams. So this is going to be a feisty affair. I'm going to be curious to see the matchups when they're drawn. By the time that I'm recording this, they have not drawn those. So I want to just reiterate, I don't know the lineups. I don't know who's playing with who. So when I make these picks, they may be, you may have to adjust on the fly. But I'm going with, if Europe is to win this, they're going to win day one. So I'm definitely going with that at plus 130. I like the USA plus or between 1 and 3 points to win by plus 350. That's kind of a hedge. I do think Europe is the better team here, but that home course advantage, the more I read about it and some of the history that we've had here, the Ryder Cups, and go back and reminisce of tournaments that you remember, but you just haven't paid attention to for a while. It's just so hard to win on foreign soil. So we'll see. Top point getter. So these are interesting. Scotty Scheffler is the favorite at plus 550, but he's only 2-2-3 in these. Rory McIlroy 16-13-4. He's 9-1. John Rahm 6-3-3. He's 9-1. Patrick Cantlay 5-2-1. 12-1. He's the second choice for the Americans. Tommy Fleetwood 7-3-2 all time in Ryder Cup. And he's 12-1. And back to Cantlay, he was T3 here at the PGA at Bethpage Black in 2019. So course experience says he could be decent there. Bryson DeChambeau 2-3-1 in his short Ryder Cup career, 12-1 for him to be the top point scorer. Xander Schauffele 4-4. Sam Burns 1-2. Terrell Hatton 5-4-2. You can find him at 18-1. Schauffele at 12. Burns also at 18. Justin Thomas intrigues me. I think Justin Thomas, this guy plays with an edge anyway, and he's very, very good in these competitions. Now, his boy Spieth isn't with him this time, so that may be good or bad, though they didn't play that great the last time they were paired together, both of them kind of on a decline. Thomas picked his game up as the year went on because he really wanted to make this team, and I give him a lot of credit. His game was not in a good spot last year, and he brought it together this year and got himself back in the mix here. He's on the team. He's 7-4-2 all-time. 20-1 to be the top point getter. I think it makes a little bit of sense for Justin Thomas. He's going to be out there a lot. He has the experience. He has that really good putting game that he's kind of an assassin on the green, and he talks crap, and he's very vocal and emotional, and that's the kind of the performances that you see you guys have here who excel. And I like Justin Thomas at 20-1 to be the top point getter. I think a lot of his matchups, depending on who he's paired with, I think are worth taking a peek at. Also like Bryson DeChambeau, he too is going to come out here with a lot of emotion. He's already talking smack to Rory McIlroy. That's going to be interesting to see how many times they go head-to-head against each other. But I like DeChambeau. He can handle the pressure. He out-executed Rory down the stretch at the U.S. Open last year. He can beat him for sure, and I think DeChambeau thrives in these situations where he is disliked by the other side. He's really gotten tight with his team. He went out there to California for the tune-up event, even though he wasn't allowed to play in it because he's on the LIV, but he hung out with his teammates the entire week. Bryson DeChambeau has done an entire transformation of his character, so credit goes to him. He's 12-1 to be the top point scorer. And then two guys from Europe who I think are very dangerous here. Robert McIntyre, he's 2-0-1. He didn't play a ton his first go-round here, but this guy's really good. He's a clutch player. You saw some of the majors he was contending in. He can be a cutthroat player. So at 25-1, I think him to be the top overall scorer. I'd also look at him the top European scorer. And Justin Rose, 14-9-3 all time, the veteran, great putter, has experience at this course. He knows what he's getting into. He's going to be a stabilizing force for the Euros. I would expect him to be in the lineup quite a bit. 34-1 on him. Those are some guys I'm interested in. Shane Lowry, 2-3-1, played well here back in 19. But I don't love his numbers in the Ryder Cup so far. Colin Morikawa is going to be a fave for me. He's not played well. Victor Hovland doesn't have great numbers, but his form started to come in pretty well towards the end of the year. Harris English 1-2, and all the other guys have either no record here or played very scarcely. So I'm curious to see how Ludvig Åberg will play. And some of the other young players, Cameron Young, Ben Griffin, so forth, J.J. Spawn. J.J. Spawn's a little bit of a wild card here, though. If he can perform well, I mean, he played very well under pressure a couple times this year and was able to succeed, although he didn't play well under pressure against Rory McIlroy and the players. So you got to pick and choose where you're going to go with that one. But overall, I think Europe's got the better team. I'm pulling for USA, of course, so a little bit of an emotional hedge there maybe with USA, but I'll post these at BLS_PRP, and when I get some first-round matchups, I'll probably put up a few of those that I like as well. All right, keeping it moving here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 145, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for tonight's football action. Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central, and John Marshall all in action. You got the Mountaineers tomorrow. You got the Browns on Sunday. The Brownies getting the big win last week. We called it right here on the Watchdog Network over the Packers. So we were happy to have that one. All right, let's get into some racing action before we recap some news and notes from the week and then get into your football. That's what people want right here on the Watchdog Network on a Football Friday, and who wouldn't, right? All right, so NASCAR. Actually, let's start with Formula One. Max Verstappen goes back-to-back. How about that? Yeah, he takes the Azerbaijani Grand Prix. He led all 51 laps. Very impressive. Qualified on the pole again. Very strong. The big news here is, what is wrong with McLaren? Oscar Piastri crashed in qualifying, crashed on the first lap of the race. That was, we could burn our ticket there. We did have Isaac Hadjar. He came through for us. Not a good run from the Ferraris. They were just 8th and 9th. Really bad. Williams ran well, though. Again, we have been very high on Williams, and we just missed out. Alex Albon had some trouble. He ended up finishing 13th. Unfortunately, we didn't get that Williams double top 10. But Carlos Sainz onto the podium. He hasn't even been relevant all year, but a very talented driver. So he was winning races just as recent as last year for Ferrari. So Carlos Sainz on the podium there. He followed George Russell, who was up there for Mercedes. And not only did Oscar Piastri not do well, but Lando Norris, seventh place finish. I mean, he's beaten out by Yuki Tsunoda and Liam Lawson. Kimi Antonelli, not as surprising for Mercedes, but Mercedes with a double top six there. And so a good performance. We're off this week for Formula One, and we'll be back in action. But Max goes back-to-back Monza and Baku, and we got Singapore next week for the F1 boys. NASCAR-wise, we had a couple of top 10s there, one top 5 there with Logano and Briscoe. So not too bad, but really this race was Ryan Blaney's to lose. He had a very strong car, led 116 laps. Joey Logano, I thought we were going to get it done with Logano. At times, he had the best car out there. He led 147 laps. He's knocking on the door. He's right there. But Fords have not fared well here at New Hampshire. So let's go through that right now. Chevy has won 3 straight here at Kansas. I'm sorry. I said he didn't fare well at New Hampshire. He has fared well at New Hampshire. The Fords have not fared well here at Kansas. And it really is remarkable to me that Kansas has a second race. Not really an exciting track by any means, but not terrible. Not as bad as it used to be. These new cars, new gen cars, it just makes it so much more competitive. But Chevy's won 3 straight. Prior to that, Toyota had won 5 in a row at Kansas. And Ford has not won here since 2020. So maybe a little bit of a concern there if you're a Ford backer here today. I have one Ford that I was interested in, and I'm not saying he's probably going to win, but we'd take a shot. Hendrick Motorsports has been outstanding at this track. This track just, to me, screams out guys. It screams out Alex Bowman, who's run so well here. He's had opportunities to win. He just hasn't been able to close the deal yet. Chase Elliott's been fantastic here. Kyle Larson's won 2 of the last 3 races here. So this just screams to me, Hendrick Motorsports. They just seem to dominate this track. Chevy as a whole, very, very good. Elliott, best average finish of any car in this race right now. He's at 10.4 here at Kansas. He's got the win. He's got 7 top 5s. He's been outstanding. Chris Bell, second among active drivers. He doesn't have a win here. He's got 3 top 5s. And then there's Kyle Larson with 3 wins. Denny Hamlin with 4 wins. Brad Keselowski, 2 wins. But that's been a while. Alex Bowman, he's your next best guy without a win behind Chris Bell. He's got 4 top 5s here, and he's led 191 laps, and he always seems to have a good car. He's been top 10 here the last 2. Then you got William Byron with a 14.5 average. He's next. Ryan Blaney at 14.8. Joey Logano back down there at 16.6. Logano, he might have been the last Ford to win. I can't remember. But he does have 3 wins over this track. Then you got Ross Chastain, who's a guy that we're definitely interested in. Bubba Wallace has also won here, but his average has not been very good. He's just a 21.5. So let's talk about some of the guys we like. Of course, I hit on a few of them. Alex Bowman, 28-1. He just continues to race well at this track. He has, I know he was top 10 both races last year. He was fifth here earlier this year. He just has a knack for this track. It just suits him well. He led 41 laps in the spring race, and I think he's going to be a contender. Chase Elliott was ninth here last year in this race, and he ran, where did he run here in the year? Oh, he had a bad, he led 29 laps, but he had some problems and ended up finishing 15th. So that, just think about that. He's at the best average of any active driver at this track. That's with a 15th. Finished earlier this year. So Chase Elliott is definitely going to be a use. He's 16-1. That's way too long of a price for him. He needs to win to get through the next round anyway, so he's going to be all out I thought Chris Bell at 9-1, very fair, has had a really good run here. He just hasn't put together a win. He's 12.4 average finish, and I think Chris Bell, definite contender. So Elliott and Bell are my top two. Bell at 9-1, Elliott at 16-1. Then I'm going with Ross Chastain, who won this race last year, the fall race last year. He led 52 laps. He held off William Byron. There you go, another Hendrick car. But again, Chevy runs 1-2 in that race. So I think Ross Chastain is going to have a really good shot here, and we're going to use him at 18-1. And then Alex Bowman at 28-1, we mentioned a few times. The 1-4 that I'm curious about, Joey Logano would be all right here, but he hasn't shown that he's really good in this car yet here at Kansas. Ryan Blaney's been very good. He's got two top fives here in the last two races. Can he win back-to-back? That's hard to do. So I'm going to pass on Ryan Blaney at 6-1. But I am interested in Chris Buescher, 28-1 on him. He was 8th here in the fall race, or in the spring race, and he was 11th in the fall race last year. So Chris Buescher, very, very solid contender. He's got a good team. I don't love the Fords. I'm going to be looking for a price on Hendrick Motorsports to win this. I think he got four really good cars he could win. So if I can find anything short, a short minus price or a plus price, I'm going to be playing that. They didn't have those up yet. Chevy to win, too. If you can find that at a plus price, that's probably worth rolling the dice. Got some very, very good Chevys that are going to be running here on Sunday. Championship-wise, Denny Hamlin remains the favorite along with Kyle Larson. Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan Blaney's the favorite at plus 350. Good thing we got him a few weeks ago. It was like 8 or 9 to 1. But that can change very quickly. When somebody wins this week, then that'll even out a little bit more. You got Byron at 5 to 1, Bell at 5 to 1, Briscoe 10, Chase Elliott 11. That's worth a look. Joey Logano at 14 is definitely worth a look. But one car I'm out on, totally out on, Tyler Reddick, and I'm kind of out on Bubba Wallace anyway, like I usually am. Something's up. 23-11 is going through all these court issues with NASCAR, and they are all kind of issues, and Tyler Reddick is just lost focus. I don't know if he's leaving this team or what, but they've been awful recently, and they're going to be fade material for me. Ross Chastain, 28-1. I don't know if he wins this and gets through. This is a good track for him. I mean, why not him? He's a very aggressive driver. And then Austin Cindric at 28-1. Don't think he has much of a chance just because of these. Although at the Charlotte Roval, you never know. If he can make it that far where he's in contention, he could be a factor. So, again, our plays this week in the Hollywood Casinos 400. It'll be Chris Bell, Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Alex Bowman, and Chris Buescher. All right, keeping it rolling here on Better's Last Stand. Show number 145 coming to you here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for Football Friday. Wheeling Park in action tonight against St. Clairsville. You got Wheeling Central hosting Perry Traditional Academy, and you got John Marshall on the road looking to go 4-0 against Parkersburg South. You can hear those right here on the Watchdog Network. We got the pregame show coming up next, and then we'll get you out to your game here on a fabulous Football Friday, as always presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. Thanks for joining us. All right, some things to go through here. Maybe the worst beat ever in the history of sports. I'm sure everybody who's impacted in different ways in different beats are going to say that. But this was an awful one. It was the Eagles game against the Rams. And it's not just the way that the Rams blew this big lead and just you could see it coming apart and about late in the third quarter. It was like, oh, they're going to end up losing this game. And then you thought, well, maybe Stafford rescued them. Drives him down, gets him into field goal range. They're trailing by one. You're catching 3.5. You're thinking, oh, even if he misses this, I mean, I'm still covering. No problem there. And it's 27-26. You get the guy to 44-yard field goal, and today's NFL is nothing. That's just not a bad distance at all. It's really easy. I mean, kickers are going to make that 9 out of 10 times, assuming that the hold's good, or the snap and hold and everything's good. But the Rams didn't execute perfectly here. Lineman Jordan Davis from Georgia, who's a very, very big man, he blocked the kick. And not only did he block the kick, he picked it up and ran it for a touchdown to cover the spread. So what makes this so bad, in my opinion, is, okay, he gets the field goal blocked. Okay, he can live with it. He misses the field goal wide right, wide left, short, whatever. You can live with it. He gets it blocked and they don't pick it up. You can live with it. Whatever. You can live with all different outcomes there. But what you can't live with and what you'll never see again is a 340-pound lineman. This isn't a defensive back. This isn't a guy with 4.4 or 4.3 speed. This is a guy who's 340 pounds who's actually lost about 30 pounds to get down to where he's a little bit more nimble. Well, he just absolutely jetted down the field for this touchdown. 340-pound lineman blocks it and runs it back for touchdown. You're just not ever going to see that. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And it's agonizing. So if you had the Eagles, congratulations. If you had the Rams like me, you were kind of sick and you were like, what worse? What could go wrong? It's just amazing. It's amazing stuff. But we move on for another day, and we'll be thankful that we do have another day here on the Bettors Last Stand Show, number 145. Some sad news for me, and that's actually kind of personal too. Dave Sherapin, longtime bookmaker, podcast host. He's been a guest on many, many shows. He was on the Bostonian versus the Book, which I'm sure a lot of people that follow sports betting landscape know about him. Sportsbook Consig was his handle on Twitter. Very, very well-known guy. Passed away at 55 earlier this week after a long battle with cancer. David had some health problems in recent years. And why this actually hits close for me is Dave was actually my first boss in this business. And he wasn't around long in Wheeling, but just I learned a lot from him. And he was a great guy and just super cool. And I wish I would have been able to work with him for longer, but my time with him, very, very good. He's a total pro. Was one of the most likable guys in the industry, and you see all the tributes all over Twitter and social media about Dave and how well-respected and well-liked he was at his many stops across Nevada. He worked offshore for years before he went to Nevada, but worked at the Golden Nugget, at the Cosmo, at the Venetian. He worked for CG in their trading room for a long time, William Hill. And he was here at Wheeling Island for a little while, part of our original venture. So very sad news there. Just way too young to pass. He leaves behind a wife and three daughters and just hearts with his family. And just not enough good things to say about him and just what he meant to the industry. And he's just always bringing smiles and laughs to people's lives. And you probably saw him regularly on the Sports Grid, which you was on. It's on DirecTV right now. It used to be on Sirius XM, and he made several appearances throughout time or contributed to some of the shows on VSiN, whether it was on camera or just supplying them with information. So Dave Sherapin, RIP, you will be missed in this industry, and just, you know, you're even better guy than you were what you did for the sports betting industry. So condolences again to his family, and he'll be in our thoughts and prayers. And every time you hit one, win a bet or get some fortunate luck like the Eagles game the other day, maybe you can look up there to Dave and give him a thumbs up. Maybe he was pulling a few strings for you from up above. All right, moving on. College football week number 5, the most bet teams, but we'll recap week number 4. These were the teams that took the most bet action last week. 95% on Florida State, -45.5 against Kent. That was a winner. 95 on Boise, -10 against Air Force, a loser. 92 on Washington, -20.5 against Washington State. That was a winner. Tennessee, -39.5, 90% of tickets on them against UAB, did not cover. 90% on Vandy, -27.5 against Georgia State. That was a winner. 89% on South Alabama against Coastal, -14.5. That was a loser. 87% on Oregon, -35.5 against Oregon State. That was a loser. This week's big plays, 94% of tickets on Tulane, -14.5. 94% on BYU, -6.5 against Colorado. 91% on Toledo off of a terrible loss, -21 against Akron. 85% on Tennessee again, -7.5 against Mississippi State. Better watch that one. 85% on Louisiana Tech, -4 against UTEP. 82% on Ohio State, 8.5 at Washington, and 80% on Notre Dame, -4 on the road at Arkansas. Interesting stuff. Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza is now the favorite for the Heisman Trophy, +650 on him after the Hoosiers' impressive win over Illinois, and they were very, very impressive. I had the under in that game, as you know, and it was had no prayer. We did have Indiana, too, so that's good, but that was an absolute beatdown. Indiana looked the part. They looked very, very good. They looked better than they did last year. Defense, very good. And as we told you many times, Illinois is a fraud. That's for sure. They're an okay team, but they're not a contender. How in the world they were in the top 10? I don't know what these voters are even looking at. I mean, big market, I guess, but just watch the games. You realize Illinois, they're a fringe top 25 team, not a top 10. So kudos to Indiana, but Mendoza takes over the top Heisman billing after John Mateer from Oklahoma was announced the other day that he's got a thumb injury. He's going to have surgery, so he's out of action for a while. Oklahoma got the win last week against Auburn. Best and worst cover teams in college football so far. Here's the 4-0s. Louisiana Tech, Memphis, who we had last week. Nice come-from-behind win there. Mississippi State, Texas Tech, Utah State, Vanderbilt, 3-0 teams. Florida State, Houston, James Madison, BYU, Arizona and Old Dominion, the worst cover teams. These are the 0-4s and 0-3s, teams who have not covered a spread. Kent State, SMU, Liberty, Georgia, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Oregon State, Penn State. Yeah, Penn State and Georgia. How about that? Two teams you would expect to be playoff teams. Sam Houston, Louisville, and Oklahoma State, who coincidentally fired Mike Gundy the other day. Crazy stuff. Most bet teams in the NFL last week, lopsided tickets in week number 4. It was Dallas minus 187%. We told you we liked the Bears. That was one we did get home along with the Brownies. 80% on Indy. That was a winner. 79% on Atlanta minus 5.5. They got beat 30-0. 79% on Buffalo. They did not cover on Thursday against the Dolphins minus 12.5. 79% on the Chargers minus 2.5. They win. If you got the 2.5, you're good. If you got the 3, you got to push. 74% on Kansas City minus 6, a winner there. The Giants are a disaster. 70% on Green Bay minus 8.5. That one a loss as they lose outright at Cleveland. This week's high performing ticket count so far. Teams to watch. These are ones you want to kind of look twice at. Don't get crazy and don't start betting with the public. 83% on the Chargers minus 6 against those Giants. 80% on Green Bay minus 7 at Dallas. 75% on the Ravens minus 2.5 at KC. 73% on Buffalo minus 16.5 at New Orleans. Yeah, 16.5 in a pro game. Ooh. 70% on Washington minus 1.5 at Atlanta. 70% on Chicago minus 1.5 at Las Vegas. Week 3's probably the best weekend for the books, although I will say some of the Philadelphia area books, Atlantic City and such, they didn't have as good a day, but they made up for it in other ways. But Philadelphia coming in was a massive one for the public over there. NFL favorites 34-12 straight up, 24-22 ATS through week 3. Home teams 27-20 straight up, road teams 24-23 ATS, and unders are 26-22. The Atlanta Falcons become the first of the minus 4.5 or greater favorites to lose outright this season. They had been 13-0 prior to that, the teams who were laying 4.5 or more. They lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers the other day. All right, keeping it rolling here. We got about a half an hour to go here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 145, getting you ready for Football Friday. Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central, and John Marshall in action on these airways. Let's get to some round football first. We'll start it off with soccer. Again, you can find all these plays, BLS_PRP, should the mood entice you. Give us a follow. Give us a message on there. Let us know what you think. If there's something more that you want to see, we will definitely aim to please. All right, Premier League action this weekend. We are back with it. Premier League kicking, and we got Brentford and Manchester United. First game we'll talk about right here. It's Brentford plus 240, United plus 105. This is a interesting one. Man United off of a win over Chelsea last week. I didn't expect that to happen. The last four between these two have had at least one goal for each of them. So we're betting both teams to score here for certain. Small lean to Brentford, who's definitely been a team that's been better than people thought. They're plus 240. They're at home. Manchester United, don't think they've solved their problems just because they beat Chelsea. Chelsea in a very stagnant phase right now. So I would not be backing United here under any circumstance. So Brentford and BTTS for that one. Crystal Palace and Liverpool. Liverpool minus 111, plus 275. This game at Palace. Now, I got an interesting take on this one. I like Palace to win or draw. You can find that around minus 110, minus 115, something like that. If you want to play the straight win, go ahead. But if they draw, at least you would get a win in this, you know, in this case. Liverpool has a long trip out to Turkey, Galatasaray, on Tuesday. This is Saturday, so, I mean, it's a pretty quick turnaround. I'm not sure how many guys he'll have playing, what he's going to be having. They're coming off of the Merseyside Derby last week. That's a very emotional fixture, which we did cash a little bit there. We had actually pushed on the total when we did have the cards over. But long trip to Galatasaray. Not sure that all their guys will be in the lineup or at least available to play 90 minutes. So I think this might be a little bit of a dead spot for Liverpool on the road. Palace beat them 3-2 in the Community Shield earlier this year. So I think Liverpool's a little geared down. I think Palace could be live, so we'll go with Crystal Palace win or draw there on Saturday morning. Leeds and Bournemouth. It's Leeds plus $2. Bournemouth, a road favorite at plus 140. I really think this will have some goals, I think. I think both teams will score for sure. The home team has won 6 of the last 7 encounters. Both teams have scored in 6 of the last 8 matchups between these two. So Bournemouth and Leeds will go with both teams to score. Manchester City and Burnley. Manchester City, a massive 550 favorite. Burnley plus 140. I'm going to take City on the Asian handicap here, at least at -1.75. You can go higher if you want, -225, whatever you want to do. They've pounded Burnley, especially at the Etihad, their home stadium. They've outscored them 21-1 in the last five. The last five trips Burnley's made to the Etihad, they've been outscored 21-1. So this doesn't bode well. Burnley will be a team that we'll use at home from time to time and play in the unders, but not today. It's going to be City all the way here. Leeds and Bournemouth, we talked about that one already. Forest and Sunderland. I like this match under the total. The road team has gotten points in the last six meetings. These games have been very tight. Five of those have been wins. So I'm leaning Forest here. But Forest is playing a European game as we speak right now. Highly, highly intense European game. Goals going on. Lots of activity there. They're playing in Europe for the first time in maybe the club history. But how do they come out of this midweek game? I don't know. I think they're going to be a little lethargic. That's why I like the under here. Sunderland on a team that will back outside of the Stadium of Light, their home field. They're on the road here. Next match, Spurs and Wolves. Spurs have struggled at home to score, but should be a decent spot for them. I'm having a hard time trusting them, so I'm passing on this game. Aston Villa and Fulham. Aston Villa in action tomorrow in Europe. They have just been so bad. They cannot score. They were fortunate to draw with Sunderland the other day when they got a red card early, which cost us. I'm going to play Villa here. I'm going to take a shot that they come in with some momentum. They played very well in Europe. We'll see if they do tomorrow. But I like them at +130. I'm going to take a shot that they really come out. Their manager called them out in the news this week. I think you're looking for a big performance out of them. Arsenal has dropped points to Liverpool and City so far this year. They can't afford to drop them here at Newcastle. I think both teams will score in this match. Newcastle has not been in great form, but I am going with both teams to score. I think Newcastle could scratch out a draw here. It could be a 1-1, maybe a 2-1 Arsenal on the road. And then the final game, Everton and West Ham. This is at Everton. Everton were not good last time out. They're -120 here. I like them. They haven't beat West Ham at home since 2022, but I'd expect a big bounce back for them under David Moyes. Championship, let's go there. Coventry and Birmingham. This is an interesting tie here. Coventry and Birmingham, we're going to go with no on the both teams to score. So one of these teams I think will be shut out, or both of them will be shut out. At least one of the teams have been shut out the last five out of six meetings between the two, including 2-0-0 draws. So no both teams to score in that one. Swansea and Millwall, our next one, we're going to go under 2.5 or 3 if you can find it. Last meeting was a 1-0 result for Millwall. Both teams had score lines of 1-0 this past week. I watched a lot of the Millwall game the other day. They can't score at all. They scored off a free kick. That was their only hope. Bristol and Preston, both teams to score. The last three have seen both teams score, and that one slight lean to Bristol in that contest to bounce back. They are +165, so you want to take a shot with them. Stoke, moneyline, +105. We've been pretty high on them. They started the season strong at home. Loss on the road to QPR last week. Norwich has been surrendering goals. They're not nearly as good as they have been in the past few years, so we'll go with Stoke with the plus price. Middlesbrough and Southampton. Middlesbrough, top of the table. They're $2 here, +$2 on the road, a dog. I think they got a shot. Top of the table, good form, and they played Southampton well on the road. Southampton, not as great a form. I mean, they hung in with Liverpool midweek, but that wasn't a full team of Liverpool for sure. And then Watford and Hull. Watford really, really struggles to score goals. Four of the last five under in the series. Watford, they could have played 180 minutes the other night and they wouldn't have scored. So we'll go under 2.5 or 3 there. And then league number one, it's Bradford on the money line. They take on Blackpool, who got a nice win for us. But Blackpool, not very good. The Seasiders struggle away from home. So we're going to go Bradford. Sorry. Almost like a Bradford. But Bradford we're going with at even money. Cardiff -125, 1.25 on the Asian handicap. They're very good at home. Burton, they had a draw last out, but they're at the bottom of the table. They've scored a league low 5 goals. So we'll go with Cardiff. Very, very tough place to go there in Wales. So we'll go with Cardiff -1.25 on the Asian handicap. Then Luton -135. They've owned Doncaster at home recently. However, both teams have lost 2 straight. So we'll go with a small minus price on Luton at home. Tough place to play. And then Barnsley, our final play in League One. Barnsley money line, even money. They've dominated Port Vale the last 4 meetings, outscoring them 16-4. So Barnsley, it is a plus price at home there when they've dominated that tie. So good stuff there in soccer. Let's shift it over to AFL. It's the grand final here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 145. And, man, we got a good one. It's Geelong and Brisbane. And, man, you couldn't have predicted it any better. If you listen to our show here, you could have got exactas. You could have got everything you wanted. These are the two teams we've been backing for a long, long time here on the show. And we're happy to have it. It should be a great matchup. Geelong lays 10.5 in this. Brisbane is the dog here. 172.5 here is the total at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. So should be a wonderful match, rematch of the first round when Geelong won 112-74, but Brisbane very beat up at that point. Geelong very healthy. Tides have turned a little bit. Tom Stewart, bad concussion for Geelong last week. He smashed his head off the ground. It was really ugly. So, yeah, you got to watch out for that. I'm going to fly through this stuff here now, so if I go too fast, BLS underscore PRP. Lachie Neal is back. Huge part of the midfield for Brisbane. I like Brisbane. They might get Jared Berry back too. He's got to test his shoulder this week at practice. I'm taking Brisbane plus the 10.5, and I'm going to play this game over. The overs have come in here a little bit on the grand final in recent years, and the Brisbane Lions have been in the finals the last three seasons. They won last year 120-60 over Sydney. We had that one here. They lost to Collingwood 90-86 in 2023. Geelong won it all in 2022 over Sydney 133-52. So these teams have both been very, very high-level teams the last four. The last four grand finals have seen at least 176 points scored. So we got a 170 total here. So we're going to go over the 176, 186.75 average over the last five. And prior to that, there were six straight unders in the grand final. Things have kind of turned around now. This is a little bit more of an offensive game. The kicking, the kick making, the shot making is really, really good right now. Midfielders have scored the first goal in 10 of the last 15 grand finals. Take a look at Zach Bailey for Brisbane at 13-1, Ollie Dempsey for Geelong at 19-1, and Patrick Dangerfield, the captain for Geelong. He scored three last week, 12-1 for him. Best bets for me, Hugh McCluggage for Brisbane to score a goal at plus 140. We had him in this game last year. He's a big-time player in the big games. He scored in the final last year and cashed for us. Let's see, Callum Achi, Brisbane, to score twice, plus 280. He scored four in last year's final for the Lions. And then the old veteran, Charlie Cameron, also for Brisbane, to score twice, plus 150. He scored one last year, and he scored twice in this game in 2023. Josh Dunkley to score, I think, at 3-1 makes a lot of sense. He scored in some big games for them. I'll take a shot. And then Jeremy Cameron, I think he's got 85 goals this year for Geelong. Him to score three times is right around even money. He scored 22. He scored twice in the 22 final when Geelong won it. Patrick Dangerfield, as I talked about, the captain, to score twice at plus 120. He scored some massive goals in his career. He scored in the 22 final and three times last week. Brad Close to score a goal, even money. Scored twice in the 2022 final. I think he's very live. That's a good plus price on him. Tyson Stengel, Geelong, to score twice. He scored three last week. He's plus 120. So those are the plays for the AFL Grand Final. Again, BLS underscore PRP can find all of these. And we'll hopefully can get ourselves into the win column with that. All right, let's shift over to football. It's football, football, football here on the Watchdog Network. Getting you ready for football tonight. High school variety, that is. Wheeling Park in action against St. C. John Marshall at Parkersburg South. And Wheeling Central hosts Perry Academy. Let's go through the college card here, and then we'll go into the pros. East Carolina and Army, that was last night. We got games tonight that I like. Florida State and Virginia. Classic look-ahead spot for Florida State here. I like Virginia in the points here. We're going to go, or Virginia plus the points, we're going to go over 59. TCU and Arizona State. This is an over game to me, I feel like. Arizona State, I think, will keep it going. They played decent last week, got the job done. But TCU, pretty good offense. They're catching 2.5 here. 54.5 is the total. We're going to go over there. Houston and Oregon State. You got Houston with Texas Tech on deck. But, man, can you play Oregon State at plus 13.5? I don't have the stomach for it. I considered it, but I'm not going to do it. Wake Forest and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech minus 14 on the road. I'm leaning Wake there. Total's 52. Excuse me. I think Wake Forest at home, a little bit of a dangerous spot here for Georgia Tech. Moving on down the card, Rutgers in Minnesota. It's Minnesota minus 5, the total 51. Rutgers has played very well here. They've scored some points. They have an offense finally. I'm tempted to go over in that one, but I'm going to pass for the time being. Cincinnati at Kansas. Kansas off the big win over WVU. They're laying 5.5 here, the total 55.5. Don't really have an opinion on this one. I would play Cincinnati if they had this been in Cincinnati, but it is not, so we're going to pass on that one for now. Bowling Green at Ohio. Ohio opened 11. That's down to 9 now. I don't really know why that is. Ohio, the much better team here. If you can catch under or lay under 10 here, I think it's worth a shot. Notre Dame at Arkansas. This is an intriguing one. Notre Dame -6. They opened -6. They're now down to -4. The total is 64.5. It's a massively high total. I like Arkansas here. I've watched both of these teams play. Notre Dame's defense is really, really bad. I don't know if it's scheme or players, but they're really bad. And that's not taking it. I mean, Miami's my favorite team. We beat them, but it wasn't easy. But their defense, thank goodness it was not very good because they probably would have beat us otherwise. I like Arkansas here. I think they're very tough at home. I just don't know how Notre Dame goes into an SEC team like Arkansas laying points on the road. After last week, they gave up a ton to Purdue, which we knew they were going to. Just odd. Louisville at Pitt. Here's my favorite play to this point. Pitt +4.5. I really, really like Pitt here. Louisville, is, like I said earlier, they have not covered a spread yet this year. They've played really nobody. Pitt, to me, they got blown out by Louisville last year. I think this is a revenge spot for Pitt. I think Pitt has had a couple weeks to stew over that disappointing debacle in Morgantown. I think the Panthers win this. They're a home dog here. I think they win this game. I would take a +160 on the money line as well. Duke at Syracuse. Something's got to give in this game. We talked about Duke, how they had been a team we backed. They were in the spot to beat NC State last week, but I couldn't trust them. They got the job done. Syracuse got the job done against Clemson. So both these teams you would think would have a little bit of a backslide. Lean into the over maybe, but then I thought about this, this could be a really down, like both teams could plateau here and it could be an under. So I passed on the game. I had opinions on all sides. So that's one you stay away from. USC at Illinois. USC 6.5 on the road, -59.5. Illinois humiliated last week by Indiana. I think this is a little more fair of a matchup for Bielema's guys. If they have any pride at all, they'll come out ready for this one. I like Illinois slightly +6.5 at home. Georgia Southern at James Madison. James Madison -17.5, 57.5. The reason I mentioned this game, a lot of sharp action I've heard about this week on Georgia Southern. So take that 17.5 with the Eagles. Cal Berkeley at Boston College. Boston College -6.5, total 52. I don't think BC likes the West Coast. It's a shame they got to go there for conference games. But sharp money coming in on Cal +6.5 here on the road. Cal, though, lays an egg last week, too. Indiana at Iowa. Indiana -7.5, total 48.5. This is a very square play. But visually, in my opinion, this is like men versus boys. Indiana, if they show up for this game, they will blast Iowa. I don't know if they will. Maybe they'll be sleepwalking after the big win last week. But if you look at these two teams and you from a visual side, you will realize Indiana is far, far superior to Iowa. I like the Hoosiers here. I know that's a very square play to play them on the road, -7.5. But, man, they were very impressive last week. Usually that's when a team backslides, though, so be cautious. But Indiana, to me, definite playoff contender and much better than they were last year. Baylor, -19, all the way up to 21 now against Oklahoma State, who fired Mike Gundy. Been with the program for years and years. I don't know how that's going to work out. Do they come out inspired or do they roll over and get buried here? We're not going to take a chance. We'll pass. UCLA at Northwestern. Northwestern 8-0 ATS run for them. -6.5 at home. UCLA also fired their coach, Foster, a few weeks ago. So we're on Northwestern here. I think they're starting to kick it in gear. I like them a lot. And then right here, you can hear this game on the Watchdog Network tomorrow. It's Utah and West Virginia, 3:30. Pregame will come your way shortly after noon. I like the Mountaineers here, catching nearly two touchdowns. This thing shot up 3 points, though, quickly in the last 48 hours. -10.5 it opens, now 13.5. Got to do some digging about why that is. Maybe just pros on Utah thinking they'll bounce back. But everybody's sunk with Utah over the last handful of years in one way or another. Big spots that they can't win games. I'm done with Utah. I'm on the Mountaineers here. I'm hoping that thing will get to 14. Utah's going to come out really feeling sorry for itself after that terrible performance. I'm not sure who was worse last week, Illinois or Utah, but I give Mountaineers a fighting shot in this game, although I don't think they'll win. I think they'll have a shot of covering. LSU at Ole Miss. LSU's got to be seriously downgraded after some of the teams that they played. Florida is terrible. Clemson is terrible. So do not get excited about LSU. Doesn't mean they won't win this game. It doesn't mean Lane Kiffin won't stub his toe. But you got a lot of soap opera type drama going on with these two programs. Ole Miss -1, the total 54.5. I like Ole Miss in the game, but I don't love them enough. My favorite bet in this game is the under, 54.5. I think both of these teams realizing how pivotal this is. If either whoever wins this game is going to have a very, very, very good shot of making the playoff. Their schedule's set up to where they could lose a game, and obviously they'll still be in. So this is a really big game for both of these teams, and I think Ole Miss at home will get the job done. But I like under 54.5. I think both teams are going to play this like a playoff game right now. Auburn at Texas A&M. Texas A&M 6.5. Total is 53. I just can't back Jackson Arnold as quarterback. You saw what he did. He went back to Oklahoma last week. He couldn't make the plays they needed to, although Auburn probably got the worst end of some officiating in that game. I'm going with A&M here, and that's very unlike me to play them. I think the most overrated thing in all of sports is the 12th man at College Station. I just think everybody tells me how remarkable it is and the pageantry and how awesome it is to be in there. The environment's second to none. This program acts like it wins something. It never does. Maybe they can win and cover for us here against Auburn. I'll lay the 6.5. Won't go above 7, though. I think it'll be somewhat of a tight game with A&M pulling away late. Ohio State at Washington. Ohio State minus 8.5, total 51.5. Like this game over a little bit. I would have to lean towards Washington here, but I'm not going to play it. Ohio State could definitely score a couple late and take the cover, but I think there'll be some points. I think both these teams are starting to teeter on the brink of opening their offenses up, so we're going to go with the over 51.5. Hawaii at Air Force, like this game over. It's Air Force minus 6.5, the total 53. I think both these teams are able to score a little bit, and they match up well against each other as far as from an offensive standpoint, so I think there will be points in the game. Tennessee at Mississippi State, another game I really like here. Tennessee, to me, they're a little dressed up. I mean, they lost the game against Georgia. They couldn't stop them. They beat Syracuse. I mean, this is their first true road game, and this is a hard place to go. Stark Vegas is not an easy place to go. Next to Virginia Tech and Corvallis, it's probably you got some scary people down here. So I'm going with Mississippi State. They're 4-0. They're 4-0 ATS. They're playing good. This coach has them turning the corner. So I'm impressed so far with Mississippi State. I'll take them plus the touchdown in the hook at home on 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Liberty at Old Dominion. Old Dominion minus 16.5. That's up from 14.5. So some money going on them. Memphis in a tough spot here. 13.5 point favorite on the road at Florida Atlantic. Tempted to play Florida Atlantic there off the big win for Memphis, but no play yet. Virginia Tech against NC State. NC State was minus 8, now up to 10.5. The Hokie program is a mess. Coach got fired. They're getting guys that are already ready to go in the transfer portal. I don't like NC State at all, but they bounced back after this loss against Duke last week. NC State program, not very good, but they're better than Virginia Tech. So I'll lay the 10.5 with NC State. I think they win this by 20 or more. Western Kentucky and Missouri State. This one opened 58 on the total, up to 61.5. So some money coming in on the over there. Stanford, how about this? Stanford taking money. They're minus 2.5 now, open minus 1.5 against San Jose State. And I'd probably play Stanford. They seem to actually be improving. Although we did have Virginia against them last week, an easy win for us. UMass at Missouri. Don't like to lay 44.5 very often, but Missouri, very impressive, and UMass is not. So we'll lay the 44.5. I think Missouri will probably win this by about 50 points. Oregon and Penn State, maybe the heavyweight battle of the week, if not Alabama and Georgia. Penn State minus 3.5. And I think Penn State's been sandbagging. They've played nobody, but Oregon's played nobody either. This is going to be a tough environment. It's a whiteout. Oregon coming across the country. It is a late game that helps them. I think Penn State will be ready for this game. I thought Penn State in the championship game last year had some unfortunate mistakes that cost them the game. I thought they played pretty even with Oregon. This is a whole different environment. This is not a neutral field. Dan Lanning's made some mess up. I know James Franklin's never won a big game in his life. We'll see if he can do it here. If he can't, doesn't bode well for his trip to Ohio State in a few weeks. But I like Penn State here. They're my pick to really be good this year. I don't think they've shown anything on offense. They get the two best running backs in the country. I think the Nittany Lions win this game by a touchdown or more. Alabama at Georgia. It's Georgia minus 3, the total 52.5. I love the over here. Both quarterbacks playing well. Georgia putting up points against Tennessee. Their offense is very good. Their defense not as good. Alabama more of an offensive-minded team too. Couldn't stop Florida State. I think that bodes well for Georgia's offense. I would lean to the Bulldogs here at home, but I'd definitely like the over in this game. Kentucky at South Carolina. South Carolina minus 6.5, total 46.5. Small lean to South Carolina here, but I don't want to lay 6.5. Kentucky, to me, very offensively challenged, so that would worry me. Louisiana Tech minus 2 to open, now up to minus 4 at UTEP. So some money coming in on Tech, and then a mixed game here. BYU at Colorado. BYU minus 6.5 on the road, the total 47. BYU's defense been very, very good. I think they could give Colorado some problems, maybe the under in this game as well. Colorado, I don't think Colorado is terrible, but I don't know if they had the firepower to be able to win a game like this. But we'll see. They are at home. So those are our college plays for this week here on Bettors Last Stand. Again, BLS_PRP. You can find all of them whenever you choose to. All right, let's jump into the NFL here. We got a few more minutes here on show number 145, getting ready for high school football tonight. Week number four, we had the Amazon game last night, Seattle and Arizona. We got the early game on Sunday, Minnesota and Pittsburgh in the International Series at Croke Park in Dublin, Ireland. I can't play the Steelers. They did everything to give that game away last week, but they still won. Mike Vrabel, poor job by him and his team holding on to the football, first of all. I mean, they just cut out one turnover, they probably win. I like this game under, though. Back to the unders on international soil. I don't love Pittsburgh's offense. I don't love Minnesota's offense either. I think both teams will try to run some ball control, and I lean Minnesota here, but I'm definitely going under the 41 there in the international game at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Carolina at New England. New England now laying 5.5. Carolina won 30-0 last week. They're a 5.5-point dog. Not sure New England should be laying 5.5 against anybody. I like this game under as well, 43.5. I thought New England's offense had a lot of problems last week. Maybe they'll clean it up a little bit. Carolina, a little momentum. I would play them plus the 5.5 if this was not in Foxborough. Still be tempted if I had to make a play, 5.5. I'm taking the points for sure. Philadelphia off a miracle win. They will be at Tampa laying 3.5, total 43.5 in this one. I like the over here, too. I didn't think either one of these defenses could stop the other one. I think Philly will move the ball. They've given the Eagles problems in recent, or Tampa will move the ball. They've given the Eagles problems recently. Remember, they beat them in a playoff game. They scored some points. Baker Mayfield's played well against this team. 43 to me seems a little low. Thought Jalen Hurts played a great second half. He was the MVP in that game for sure outside of Jordan Davis. But, yeah, it was a good performance in the second half for the Philly offense. I think they keep it going. Tampa, let's hope that Wirfs is back. And they are without Mike Evans, so that would be a little bit of an issue. But Abuka's been pretty good. We'll see what Shepard, and I don't know if Godwin's going to play, but he has been practicing, so we'll see. But I like the over there. Cleveland at Detroit. This is going to be a bad, bad day for the Browns. You're going to hear it right here on the Watchdog Network. The Brownies had their big win last week against the Packers, and now they got to go up to Detroit. They're catching 9, a total 44.5. I do like the over in this game. I think the Browns will be trying to run the ball. I think they'll be able to run it a little bit against Detroit. Detroit's going to have a little bit of a letdown here too, but they're going to be able to withstand it because the Browns don't have the offense the Lions do. So over 44.5 of that one, and probably lean into the Lions in a pretty good 2-touchdown win. New Orleans at Buffalo. Buffalo minus 16.5, the total 48. This could be a burial. You just 16.5 in a pro game, you just never know. They laid 12.5 last week, but this is in Orchard Park, and I just don't see any way that Buffalo doesn't blow them out. Buffalo team total over, maybe Buffalo to score on defense. Both decent plays there if you don't want to lay that 16.5. Washington at Atlanta. Washington minus 1.5. Maybe this is a Dan Quinn revenge game. The side says take Atlanta. Atlanta off the bad performance. Washington off a good performance. The backup quarterback. This spot just has Atlanta written all over it. They got beat 30-0. This should be a bounce back for them. I think they'll be fired up for this game. I'm not saying they'll win, but I think they have a chance. So we'll go with the Falcons at home plus the 1.5. Tennessee at Houston. Big division battle here. Houston's got to win this. They're desperate. Minus 7 in home. Wow. 38.5 is the total. Houston 0-7, their last as a home favorite of 8 or more. They're not quite to 8 yet, so watch that. Tennessee played all right last week, hung around, gave a good effort. Houston, to me, this is a must-win for them, but they are a mess. I would not play Houston here. I would lean Tennessee or nothing. Chargers at the Giants. Jackson Dart in for the Giants. Russell Wilson is benched. Chargers watched a lot of that game on Sunday against Denver. The Chargers really... they're a very mentally tough team. They're very well coached. They had so many opportunities where they could have mailed it in, and the old Charger teams would have lost that game. But they made the plays down the stretch and beat Denver. I like this game under the 44. Rookie quarterback going against Harbaugh. I think that's not a good matchup. I think the Giants will be a little better, but who's to say Jackson Dart's going to be this good? People are raving about him like he's going to all of a sudden save the team. I would need to see more evidence of that. I don't think he's going to be Jaden Daniels or some of the other rookies who have had success. So under for that one for me. Indy at the Rams. Rams going to be really ticked off after blowing that game. He blew a huge lead. Couldn't execute on the field goal at the end. They lay 3.5 here against the Colts. Colts have been great offensively. I think the over, very good play here at 49.5, but I like the Rams here. I think the Rams win this by double digits for sure. Jacksonville at San Francisco. San Fran minus 3. 0-3 could be their record. They're 3-0 in so far this year. I don't see how they continue to win here. I would lean Jacksonville, but San Fran seems to be getting the job done. Under 47 is what I really like. San Fran offense, without a lot of parts, they're very limited. Mac Jones has played pretty well, but I like under 47 here. Jacksonville defense, decent on the outside. I think they'll keep the scoring low in this one. Chicago at the Raiders. This is a pick. Total 48. I love the Raiders here. I love them. This is my play of the week, my best bet of the week. Bears, everybody now all of a sudden, oh, the Bears are good. The Bears are good. But Dallas isn't very good. So don't get excited, Bears fans. I mean, I understand the optimism. We liked the Bears last week. We had them. Fortunately, that damn over didn't get there because Dallas couldn't score in the second half. But I like the Raiders here. Pete Carroll will have his team ready off a poor performance. I like the Raiders at home to beat the Bears. Baltimore at Kansas City. Baltimore minus 2.5. Total 48.5. Probably lean to the over here. Baltimore defense still broken. Terrible performance on Monday Night Football. Kansas City will be tricky here. They'll give the Ravens a handful. I think there'd be some points in this game. Probably would lean Baltimore on the spread, but I think this will be a high-scoring game. Green Bay at Dallas. Green Bay lays 7 on the road in the Micah Parsons revenge game. I don't love it. No chance I'm laying 7, but Dallas, how in the world can you back Dallas in any capacity right now? There's no CeeDee Lamb. That hurt us really bad for our over last week, but I'm going to go over again here this week. I think with a week to prepare for Green Bay. Green Bay is very gettable. We told you that. They're a fraud. They're going to beat all the bad teams, most of the bad teams, but the Browns had an elite defense, which just pushed them around. Jordan Love is a fake ace, if you're going to use a baseball term. He's not going to be very good against the elite defense. Now, he's not playing an elite defense here, so I'm going to go over 47.5. Would lean Dallas if I had to, plus the 7 in a revenge game for them. New York at the New York Jets, that is, at the Dolphins. Dolphins minus 3, total 45. I like the Dolphins here. This is win or go home for them. Loser leaves town. The Jets almost pulled it out, but they're pathetic. They pretty much quit on their team, and the Dolphins are on the verge of quitting for Mike McDaniel, who will be fired by the time we're back here on Bettors Last Stand if they don't win this game against the Jets. And then the Bengals at the Broncos. Jake Browning has been a little sloppy, to say the least. They got beat like a drum by Minnesota. I'm worried that Cincinnati's quitting, thinking that they don't have a quarterback that can get them some wins. I disagree with that. Browning, to me, like we said, prior to the last two starts, actually, he did lose last week, but he won the week before. He has a better win percentage than Burrow. I know people will tell me I'm an idiot, but I like Cincinnati here plus the 7. I think they'll rally the troops. Denver had a game last week that they probably should have won. Bo Nix, can't trust them. Can't trust Sean Payton. This has a lot of people in it that I can't trust, but I can't trust Jamar Chase. He's very good. We'll take the 7 with the Bengals on the road in Monday Night Football. I'm sure the ESPN people aren't happy the Burrow's out of the game, but I quite am. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 145 here on the Watchdog Network. High school football is coming your way next. We got the pregame show here for the Watchdog Studio. Myself, Jeff, Chris, and Jubb. And then we'll get you out to Wheeling Park against St. Clairsville on Watchdog Network. Wheeling Central hosting Perry Academy on WKKX. And then over on WVLY, it will be Coach Heinerman and Coach Treveri on the call for John Marshall as they travel to Parkersburg South looking to go 4-0. So we got great action here on the Watchdog Network. Enjoy the high school football tonight. Enjoy the Mountaineers in Utah tomorrow. And, of course, the Browns and Lions right here at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. That's going to do it for us. Best of luck on your wagers. Follow us at BLS _PRP at the Pine Room Studios and Watchdog Network WV. And WatchdogNetwork.com is where you're going to want to be all weekend long. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you. Best of luck in your wagers. And we'll see you next week here on Bettors Last Stand. Thanks for listening to the Watchdog Network. High school football is next.